Welcome to season 3 of Conversations with Coaches. This is a stakeholder-centered coaching production where we believe everyone deserves a stakeholder-centered leader. I'm Brandon Murgard, your host for the season. This season, we go deep into our case study library to discuss the real-life challenges of leaders with the coaches who help them succeed. As an added bonus, we're giving away the latest installment of our coach case study library, which includes case study summaries, transcripts of each episode, and ways you can connect with the guest. Get your copy today at mgscc.net/case-studies. Today, we're excited to have Dominic Schott, a visionary leader who's embarked on a coaching journey to cultivate a culture of feedback and leadership excellence within his company. Through the strategic application of stakeholder-centered coaching, and a commitment to transparency and humility, Dominic and his team achieved remarkable growth, setting a new standard for leadership development. Join us as we uncover the strategies that led to enhanced leadership competencies and a thriving organizational culture.
So the client were 7 leaders within my own company, so at MIA. We worked together in order to improve our culture, to change this culture, and to inspire the entire staff to have much more openness, sincerity, transparency, and to improve our agile-driven system. So this is something that we started, and this is something that we went with for 14 months.
I understand this is fairly recent, isn't it? I think you wrapped middle of last year, is that correct?
Yeah, we finished in August last year. So it was it started in June 2022. And we had 3 check periods. One was at the start, the second was in winter, and the third one was at the end in August, just to have measurable and visible results.
Now, as a business executive, what did you notice internally to make you say, hey, I think that we need to focus on coaching internally?
We had some challenges which regarded the entire staff. So there were parts of the company that people are not entirely engaged, and there were some differences. So I always think that the best example comes from above. So I thought leaders can change it by their own example. So we decided together with the team, so 6 leaders and me, that we work together and inspire people just to equalize everything and to make everything as close as possible to the standard that we want to achieve.
Wow. So it sounds like everyone was naturally on board from the very beginning. Is that correct?
We wanted to be together, so we were together, so there were a lot of transparency at the beginning. And this was something like trust and transparency was something that could, help us in a much smoother development of this process. And in fact, it worked like this.
You know, I'm sure that there are leaders listening to this right now thinking, boy, I would love to bring coaching into my team, but I don't even know how to start the discussion to see if people are up for that, see if people are interested in participating. Were you the first person who brought this up to your team, or did somebody else raise their hand first?
Well, I brought it to my team because they already knew that I'm involved in coaching and I improve and I learn a lot. And I also gave them some external trainings just to learn more about self-development. And they most probably have seen my transformation. And one day they told me, so some of them told me, Dominic, you changed and it's visible. So so I asked them, do you want to know how I changed? And they said, of course, tell us. So I said, so this is something that I did together with people that work with me on my improvements. So this is something that, you know, doesn't come from the mirror.
That's amazing, Dominic. So you were getting coached. You were developing yourself, you got some of the best feedback you can get, which is, hey, something's different about you. I want a piece of that. How do I do it? And that gave you the footing to say, hey, here's what we could all be doing. We could all experience this. And people naturally said, yes.
And some of them were trained by me because I offered them coaching as a training tool. Some of them used it, were satisfied, and most probably told others, okay, it works well, so you can try it. And then I asked them, maybe we can do something together in a completely different way. So we invite more people from the company to take part in it. And this will not only be us, so seven of us, but so this will not only be the Magnificent Seven, it will be the entire staff. So as many people as possible could be invited. And then as many people as possible can benefit from this. So they said, let's go for this. It's good.
We definitely see disproportionately positive outcomes from organizations and especially teams who start with the most senior person getting coached, people seeing that change and then coming on board. So I think this is going to be a great story to tell. So, you know, lead me through, let's start with the focus. What behaviors were they particularly focused on?
Well, there are some things that were important for our company. So, like I said, we were improving. We have been still improving our agile-driven management system. And this agility is an engine of the entire company. So what we needed to have is also something more structured. So more procedures and more things that simply help us work better together because we follow the rules that we established together. So this was about discipline and this was about procedures. So most of us had this goal, like more discipline. And this discipline in terms of behaviors was something like being punctual and also following the rules that we establish and also implementing the rules. So new rules, new procedures that are going to be developed and implemented into the company because of our improvement. So general improvement that we have due to the growth of the company.
I'd like to learn a little bit about how you approach the problem, and I'll ask this fairly broad, and then you can expand as relevant, because I know that you used SCC, I know that you used stakeholder center coaching to achieve the outcomes that you did, but I know that you have so many other tools. So, you know, what else did you bring into the process? What did you integrate? And then in general, what was the experience like being coached by Dominic?
Well, the training that I asked them to start together was nonviolent communication, just to improve the empathetic understanding and empathetic listening and, in fact, empathetic leadership in the company, just that people start listening and also are much more open than before and help others get more influence on everything what is happening in the company by listening very patiently. So nonviolent communication was the start. And this is something that I also promote every day so that people really listen and seek needs and understand emotions, their emotions and the emotions of others and appropriately address them and meet them, fulfill them in order to get as many people as more satisfied and happy. And this happiness is something that we have in front of us in our leadership, so that we need to have a happy company. So this was the first. The second was situational leadership. I'm also a trainer of situational leadership, accredited by situational leadership studies. And I used it for my people in order to help them better manage situations, so better work with their colleagues and focus on tasks and relationships according to the task they need to prepare, perform the best they can, and to focus on this more than on potentials or something that is, let's say, less measurable. So this was something they also liked very much, and they told me that situational leadership training was very good for them. Then there's clean coaching. So I'm also an accredited clean coach, and clean coaching is about using the vocabulary and mind maps of clients So without suggesting anything and without implementing your own vocabulary. So it's like repeating everything that you are saying without interruption and using only your own words and your own signs and symbols. So this is something that helps in this understanding and communication, because people feel much more engaged when they hear their own words repeated. So this is something that I also, let's say, promote as a communication system. And there is also something with positive psychology and character strengths. I ask everybody to make the test of VIA character strength test just to use it for their own improvement with Marshall Goldsmith's stakeholder certain coaching, because once they have learned what their character strengths are, those strengths were, let's say, an additional support to work on improvement on the areas they chosen for improvement. So something like, you know, an additional superpower they achieved from this test. And I taught them how to use them in their everyday work. So this is, in fact, the whole system that I use is a combination of different tools.
And what do you see as the benefit of the integration of all of these tools versus using them independently or individually or separate from one another?
Well, when you work in a team, then, you know, people like to use something that is easy and something that is also fast applicable and something that they could implement everywhere they can. So I try to choose these methods that are easily applicable and they can improve them together. So with stakeholder-centered coaching, you work with your surroundings, you work with people around, and the easier the work is, the better. So this is something that I also wanted to implement as, let's say, as a rule of improvement.
Can you talk us through, you know, from these six leaders or these seven leaders with you, you know, through their eyes, we start this day one, you know, did we begin with behavioral interviews, a structured 360? How did we get to the starting line?
Well, the first story was the strategy, because it was 2021 when we started preparations for our new strategy. The times were still uncertain. So in fact, in 2022, the company started really growing fast because COVID times ended definitely. It was like a real new beginning. So we needed a new strategy. So we defined a new strategy with an entirely new vision of the company. And the main target was the growth that could be as sustainable as possible. So in fact, sustainability was something that we really needed to have as a main target. So not only growth, but main flourishing as a growth. So something that could be much, let's say, higher, broader, and more stable, sustainable. And we started working together how to get things done in order to achieve it. So this strategy had a goal for 2027. With different sub-goals. And then we found that we need to have certain competencies that need to be applied in order to achieve this strategy. So then we defined 14 competencies that are needed to achieve this strategy. And these competencies were then measured by the first test. So we organized a big test for to check all these competencies. We hired an external company for this, just to assure full confidentiality, that people really feel secured and they can say whatever they want. The behaviors were measurements of these competencies. So like from the scale from never to always. So he behaves like this never or always with six steps, 3 minus, 3 plus. And then you can decide how often you demonstrate certain competency by measuring 6 behaviors per competence. And then out of these 14 competencies, people have noticed that they have areas for improvement. So they, you know, the mirror says something and the test something different. So then they decided to work on this. And I also wanted to be as transparent as possible. So I showed them my results, just everything that I received. And I told them, this is me. I didn't know that this was me, but at least you can see that I'm transparent with you. I don't expect the same from you. Simply stay confidential. I don't need to know what you have. But if you like, of course, you can share your results with your colleagues. Some of them did, some of them didn't. Didn't matter. The most important thing was that they expressed what they wanted to work on, each of them. So each of them has chosen two competencies, one of them three. And then we invited stakeholders. So those stakeholders were, in fact, assessing us at the beginning. So it were the same people. So the same people who assessed us for these 14 competencies, they also took part in the entire process. And each month we had been asking them for suggestions, behavioral suggestions for improvement on how we can get better in the competencies that we are working on. So I was asking also my assistant, Ola, what do you want me to do this month to be a better leader with regard to discipline? Because I was also working on discipline, like my colleagues. And she was telling me, Dominic, so be 3 minutes before the meeting, because you tend to be not always punctual, okay? And this is something that, I was happy that people are, brave enough to say it, because sometimes, you will not say to your boss, right? So it was something they said, okay, Dominic, it's good. They are brave enough. So and this is also a kind of measurement that you receive within the company, that people start feeling really easy. So it's not only, it's not this kind of exaggerated respect that you have. It's something normal. Like they can see that I'm a normal guy with, normal difficulties. And the most important thing is that I show my humility and I show my respect to them, and I show my respect in the form of asking them for help, in fact. So help me be better. Help me be a better leader. And this is something that works really, really strong.
It's beautiful. I'm personally inspired by the journey. Anytime someone goes into stakeholder center coaching, that apprehension of, wait a minute, I need to ask people. I need to tell them what I'm working on. I have to be transparent. Boy, that doesn't sound right. And what we find is that when they do exactly what you're doing, hey, here's what I'm working on. Here's how I'm working on it. Here's the feedback you guys are giving me. It has such tremendous impact on the team. Tell us about your experience the first time that you said, here's my results. Here's how I'm doing. Here's what you've said. What was going through your mind when you shared that with the team for the first time?
Well, there is something that you know about yourself and something that you don't know. So this Johari window, this is this hidden quadrant. And so, something that people know about you don't know, but you never know what it is. And then you discover this by, reading this test. So I've noticed some discrepancies between measurements, in my opinion, and the opinion of my colleagues. And then I discovered that I'm wrong. So I thought, okay, I thought it's much better, and it's not that better that I thought. Although most of the results were, let's say, moreover similar. So there were some that were really completely different. And it was something like an interesting point to me, because it was the question of what happened that my tendency to assess myself is much higher than the surroundings says it. And so this is a reflection like, okay, so what this is all about? So this is about a kind of self-opinion that is fed by certain needs, certain expectations from the world. And then when you start working on this, then you can change really a lot as a leader, because then you can see that, you are in fact a completely different person and you don't know it. So this is what I discovered.
It's amazing what we discover when we just ask, isn't it? And yet, how difficult is it to make that first ask? How difficult is it for people, to continue doing the asking? But I'm So curious, Dominic, what did you notice in other people's eyes, face, body language, response when you shared that the first time? Like, were they shocked? Were they impressed? Were they nervous about what you were going to say about it?
Well, it was like, you know, I think it was like a general surprise, because most probably what I have seen from their faces was the same result. So it was like most probably they also discovered something they didn't know before. And some of them were like, oh, I agree with that. That's strange. And it was like surprise. You are, you know, getting naked somehow. And then other people see also that they are not naked as well. So it's like you are in the same situation. In fact, you get a bit stronger, okay? Because you are the same in the same society, so in the same group, and they cope with the same difficulties. So in fact, they start feeling like, oh, so we are in the same situation, so it's good.
You know, in our training, we talk a lot about the prerequisites for stakeholder-centered coaching to be effective for a particular leader. We talk about courage, we talk about humility, and we talk about discipline. In your experience, which of these three would you say was most important in your ability to continue this process, even prior to doing the actual team process, just what you were doing prior to?
Well, I think humility and courage is something that matters the most. In fact, in this, the courage is at the first stage, and because you need to be courageous enough to start it. But without humility, you will not achieve anything, because when you say that the mirror is the best thing that you can have, and you're amazing, and you don't have any challenges, difficulties, because you're the best, so you will not achieve anything. So humility is really important. And then without discipline, it's also nothing, because you can promise everything and you will not deliver, because this is something that needs a certain repetition. So at the end also, Marshall added adaptability after COVID, right? So the fourth one. So I think the adaptability is something that we also need to have, because, you know, during the process of this coaching, which lasts months, or to be successful a year, fully successful, it's a year. So a lot of things happen within the company life. And it's easy to lose direction, you can always find an explanation. I have much more important stuff to do now, because, you know, we have so many challenges, and this kind of, you know, fire needs to be set out. So something that is really important is also this adaptability together with discipline, to be aware that whatever happens, you need to get back on track and continue with your coaching process, because other people watch you, and you need to deliver what you promised to them.
Tell us a bit about the results. So you've run this for 14 months. I know you're measuring on a 1 to 5 scale, and everyone's got some competencies they're working on. You know, when you look at the whole team and the change over time, what kind of quantitative results were you seeing by the end?
Well, on the scale of 5, on average, all leaders received 4.78, which is a magnificent result. And when we did our job, so we measured a lot of things, because we organized a survey at the end. So all of them achieved what they wanted. The most important result for the entire company was the desired shift in the culture. So much more people started being open and fully honest with everything, what they think. So they started talking about everything, and they learned that they can be even rewarded for this openness. And this produced much more efficiency. So in fact, for the last 2 years, we have the best results in the entire company in its history, which is this year, 25 years. So this is also the magnificent measurable results, which is, at the end, money delivered as a profit. and also something that people achieved themselves, being better leaders, being much more inspirational leaders, being happier leaders, much more influential leaders, and someone that is really trustful. So someone that produces trust by creating certain kind of trustful atmosphere, because you can listen, you stay focused on what people are saying, and you are listening to them also by approaching challenges that sometimes you produce yourself, and also by changing yourself when they ask you to change, which is sometimes very difficult. But sometimes it's enough to show them that you strive after, let's say, perfection, or after something that you really want to achieve. It's more important than the change. At the end, the change happens, but your efforts are something that people really admire.
You had a very interesting kind of dual role in this whole thing. Maybe you've got three parts. So you were overseeing this whole coaching. You are the business executive managing all of these people, but you were also in the thick of it getting coached alongside of everyone. What did you learn from this whole experience?
Well, it's about, coaching is a delicate profession, and it has certain ethics. So in order to be in line with this ethics, you need to simply go in line with this. So when people don't want to approve or accept your coaching because you are the owner of the company, you need to approve it. And you need to say, okay, I'm fine with this. So maybe we'll find another coach for you. And if you give them 360, and if you are open enough that they can say everything, like Dominic, like I said about Ola, my assistant, right? So when they know that they can say everything because they will not be punished for this, then at the end, this works well, because there is this kind of psychological safety that people have, and you can coach them, provided they want you for them to be a coach. When not, then sorry. So this is something that I learned. The next, another story that I learned is, the more you work in a coaching culture, the better atmosphere you have within the company, because people simply, like I said, are happy, they are open, and they will tell you whatever it is to improve the company in every aspect. So when you produce this trust that they can be open with everything what they think, then you know everything, because they will say something that you may not know. As a leader, as a company owner, they will say, just in an open meeting, hey people, we need to change it because this is bad. And the most silent voice, it's always more important, and those silent people have space to talk as well, and they learn from others. Okay, I can speak out as well. So this is my turn. Let's go.
I'd like to talk about advice, because our audience has listened into this story and we're all thinking, what can we do as a result of your learnings? So, let's start off with leaders being coached. From your experience, what advice would you have for a leader who is looking down a 12-month stakeholder-centered coaching engagement thinking, oh boy, here we go. What advice would you have for that person?
Like we advise in our agile-driven company, make small steps, make them fast. And this is something when you start doing small steps and make them really fast, then you will achieve results. So don't focus too much on big picture. Simply choose your areas of improvement, notify it to the stakeholders, ask them for help, and go for it.
How about if I'm a business executive and I'm thinking I should get coaching for my team? Me coaching them is going to be the fastest way to get started. What advice would you have for a leader looking to coach their team?
Full transparency and tests, just to make people feel really comfortable with it. Because In fact, during this interview, I realized that this coaching test that I did with them, with some of them, was something like, okay, so coaching is not that bad. It's even good. So, okay, let's try it. And then before you ask others to do something, demonstrate that you have done it. So I think you cannot demand anything from anybody before you do it yourself.
So you would definitely recommend do the coaching yourself first and then bring people along instead of trying to pull everyone from inertia.
Yeah. Demonstrate something that you changed, even a little bit. But if you use coaching and if you engage in a coaching relationship for at least for half a year, then, it's not a miracle that you will change and people will see it. Then you can say, okay, so it was not magic, it was coaching. It was magic by coaching. So, and then when you do it, so you can invite them to test it or to taste it.
Dominic, you and I are very passionate about entrepreneurship, and we see the increasingly critical role that coaching can play in the long-term success of entrepreneurship endeavors. What advice would you have for a founder or an entrepreneur who's looking at coaching?
Well, it's easy. Find a coach and find a bottleneck in your company that you cope with and make it faster that on your own only. So with coaching, you will do it much faster and easier. And you will learn also by understanding questions that you will be asked, that you can ask yourself the same questions. So my favorite questions I ask everybody is, and when you have this bottleneck, then what would you like to have happen? And it works because everybody immediately starts finding solutions.
Well, so much of the coaching literature out there is targeted at Fortune 500. It's targeted at executives, and there's not a great amount that is written specifically for entrepreneurs bringing coaching into their organization. You know, especially when we look at a country like Poland. What advice would you have for an entrepreneur in Poland who wants to get started, but just, you know, where on earth do I even start?
Well, I don't know very many coaches who are entrepreneurs and who have experience with coaching. I mean, practice like more than 1,000 hours. I have almost 1,500 now. So with all these accreditations, this process that I've gone through, we are discussing now together. So I think this is a reference that most probably could be inspiring for entrepreneurs in Poland, so to knock on my door. So I invite everybody to start it with me, and you can check how quickly things change, because I know it the best.
How can people get in touch with you? You know, if they want to reach out about coaching or about any of these other tools that you've got, how can people reach out, follow your story, get in touch?
Well, there are two websites. One is international in English, which is Minds and Pearls. Minds like, precious jewelry. Also precious jewelry. So Pearls, precious jewelry, and Minds like mine. So mindsandpearls.com. And the second is Red Pearls. So also from the jeweler, right? Red Pearl Pro, P-R-O. So one is in Polish, one is in English. You can find me there. One is more focused on also trainings or entrepreneurship, and one is exclusively only for coaching, which is Minds and Pearls, mindsandpearls.com.
Dominic showcased the profound impact of a coaching culture on organizational growth and leadership development. His dedication to fostering openness, transparency, and a feedback-driven environment serves as an inspiration for leaders aiming to elevate their teams. Inspired by Dominic's story, we hope that you're motivated to embrace coaching as a cornerstone of leadership excellence. Remember, all the case studies of the season are available for download at mgscc.net/case-studies. That's mgscc.net/case-studies. The link is also in the episode description. And if you'd like to better understand the foundations of leveraging stakeholders and measuring results in your coaching, then join the free training program, Foundations of Stakeholder-Centered Coaching, where we share the philosophies and frameworks that guarantee improved leadership in 12 months or less. You can register for the free course at mgscc.net/foundations-course. That's mgscc.net/foundations-course. Until next time, this has been another episode of Conversations with Coaches by Stakeholder Center Coaching, where we believe everyone deserves a stakeholder-centered leader. Thank you for joining this conversation, and stay tuned for more stories of leadership transformation.